I've got in the studio Crystal and Lenny from the Karioi Project. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Lenny, have you just started working for the Karioi Project? Is that and are you working? Are you volunteer? What's the story there?
So probably goes back a while. I was doing work with the Karioi Project probably 3 years ago, doing some after school work with the Rangers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I did my classic like overseas missions and then came back, volunteered again, and now I'm working as a ranger, doing some backyard project stuff and also working with the kids as well. So
what do you guys do with the kids?
Well, yesterday we went trapping, which is appropriate given the initiative. Sometimes we go look at eels. Sometimes we just go and observe nature. Pretty diverse range of things that we get up to. So nothing really set in stone. Kind of varies day to day.
Okay. So that is the after school program?
Yeah. Although the other day I was at Tuku School teaching kids about eels, which was definitely an experience for me, given that I've never really set foot in a classroom of 5-year-olds since I was 5. So it was definitely an interesting experience.
How were they?
Oh, good, yeah. Full of beans, that's for sure.
I see. Classroom management skills required?
Yeah, the yarns were next level. Super interesting answers to some of the questions, which has made it interesting.
And how will people know you? Because you've grown up here, eh? So
yeah.
How might people know you?
Family
members, that sort of thing that people...
Yeah, mum and dad... Tish and Mark, so...
Reynolds?
Yep, Reynolds, yeah. Although mum's a tailor. Mum is a district nurse. Dad's also a nurse, but at Waikato. And I've been doing a bit of music here and there, so you might have seen me getting practically naked and jumping around doing that kind of thing.
I don't remember that bit.
It's probably a good thing.
Because you're a member of Cloak Bay.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing you guys perform at Maui Dolphin Day.
Oh, so true. Not been a while ago.
You guys were still at school.
Yeah.
And not practically naked at Maui Dolphin Day.
Yeah, hope not. It's probably not really the most appropriate setting to be naked. Although, could make Unless it interesting. It'd be a memorable Maui Dolphin Day, that's for sure.
The dolphins are naked.
True.
So when you were at school, you were doing... There's a course, and I forget the name of it, Crystal, that's...
Manakiao.
And is the Karioi Project involved with running that?
No, we run it. It's the program that we have in partnership with the school.
Yeah.
And it's varied over the years how we actually live it out. So at the time when Lenny came on board with that, and we had an NCEA level course, which gave students like practical as well as... academic challenges around sustainability and solving issues and problems.
I think Aidy did that.
Yeah, I think she did.
We were in the same class with Aidy, my daughter.
Yeah, I was actually at Toi Ohomai with her last year.
Oh, yes. So you're not there now. That's because I was wondering. That's why I asked, trying to figure out which Lenny you were, if there was more than one Lenny.
This might be.
But no, you are the Lenny.
Yeah.
I am the Lenny.
Yes, in this context, anyway.
So the cool thing with Manaakea, especially when we're doing it senior level, is that we've had quite a few of the crew from those classes that we've run
come in
and join our team.
Yeah.
So we've had like Dayton and Liam and that as well.
Yeah.
And Dayton was with us for 4 years and he's just left. So Lenny's kind of stepping into some of their shoes. So opportunity came up to employ someone new and... So Lenny's just part-time at the moment because he's still studying, but it's...
Are you trying to continue the next year at Toi Ahomai?
I'm at Waikato now, so I've transferred.
Oh, yeah. What were you studying exactly?
At Toi?
Yeah.
I was doing the terrestrial...
That's right.
..environmental management degree.
Yeah.
Or diploma, rather.
Yeah.
So I did that for the year, but I found myself not really thriving Tauranga, so... Mm. Came back to Raglan to be able to live here, so I'm much preferring that at the moment.
Okay, so part-time study, part-time earning money.
Yeah.
Money's important.
Yeah, it definitely can be.
You're trying to live as a student, although you're back home again as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes it cheaper, let's face it. It
does make it better.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you find your parents had changed after you came back?
No, I might have changed a little bit. I was living in this flat with two people that I'd never really met the whole time that I lived there.
Oh, really?
Kind of in hermitude for a year.
Oh, yeah. So no, that's no good, eh?
I think that might have changed me a bit. Might have came out a bit wide-eyed from that experience. So probably helps with the trap lines, though. You do tend to sort of walk around by yourself and pondering existential, I don't know, dilemmas and putting bits of treats in boxes and pulling dead things out of them occasionally. So certainly does help to be at ease with your own mind, I'd say.
Crystal, you've never explained it this way before.
That's why I bought Lenny. I'm supposed to sound like I know what I'm doing, right? You know, when you represent a project, so...
Yeah, you don't get into the philosophical...
I always love that about Lenny. I remember when he was in the class, and you get all sorts in these classes, right? People just come to get credits, people that are really interested, other people just love the outdoors and being in that environment, and that's really cool. But I always remember talking about predator-free and why we get rid of predators and biodiversity and all that. And then Lenny looked at me one day, I think we were at Upper Wano, and he goes, "Do you think it's even possible to be predator-free?" And I was just like looking at him going, how do I answer this question? Because this guy's not going to let it go. And I just went, "Well, we put a man on the moon." And then Lenny looks at me and he's like, "True." So I was like, yeah, you go think about that.
With so, NASA's budget, I'm sure we could be fair.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah,
there's lots of technology and everything's already out there for us to kind of succeed. It's just whether we're willing or whether we accept it or the ethics of it.
Mm.
So
there's
now,
all sorts of ways to look at that question.
If a difficult child asks you that question, Lenny, now, what do you say? You have an answer ready?
On the spot, on the radio.
Of course.
What I say to that, I think it would be a similar answer. Certainly, there are ways to do it, like with CRISPR and whatnot. The gene editing stuff is super promising, but then again, you have this ethical conundrum surrounding the fact that you might alter an organism playing God, and then also that could cause a trophic cascade where you end up having this organism in a and another environment where it is valuable, and then obviously you get some kind of ecosystem collapse as a byproduct. So,
which is not ideal.
Not super ideal. There's lots to think about, though. I mean, we're already undergoing an ecological collapse in our own country, and that is a way of doing it, but I don't know. It's definitely for more intellectual people than myself to come up with the answer than someone that just goes around pulling carcasses out of wooden boxes all day long.
So I think it's interesting for people to hear like how the Karioi Project's been working in the school, and people have grown up and done the course at the school and then come out and working for the Karioi Project. Was environmental issues like a thing you were focused on as a kid? Was it something that came more to the forefront when you did that class?
Yeah. So I think Raglan Area School in particular does a really good job with instilling a understanding of our, you know, biodiversity and the importance of conserving it in general. But with Manaakea, it really was a benefit to be able to actualize that just that little bit more and put it into practice, for sure, being able to get on the trap lines and see it as being like a viable option as a job as well.
Yeah.
And also just that sort of ability to step away from the classroom where we tend to be given this feeling of, oh, you have to go get a job, or it's this very anthropocentric view of the world where it's like the most important thing to you right now is getting credits, achieving highly, and moving on to the next stage, which
you're stressing me out describing it.
Yeah, and the whole, obviously there's value in that too, but I think there's a reason why a lot of young people are unhappy is the fact that that is a lot of what we are told is most important, but having like a bit of ecological relief as such, like getting a bit of insight into the fact that we are just monkeys on a rock in space, and we get a bit of context with the fact that we're humans living, we're not living in a vacuum void of the rest of the natural world, and you can be a part of it in a way that is in accordance with making money and doing all these other things that we're often told are most important, is a super healthy and meaningful thing to be a part of. So I think it should be more and more involved in schools in general.
Did the class involve getting out in the field? Was that part of what happens?
Yeah, that was a big part of it. So going out, we made a trap line up at Extreme Waste, and as well as doing monitoring, so like chew cards and whatnot, so just seeing whether there is a presence of predators, and then obviously doing something about it.
So this chew card is, just describe that?
Well, we have different kinds of, so you can have chew cards where you put like a bit of peanut butter wedged in a bit of cardboard, and then like obviously a mouse or a rat will come up and chew on that, and you can see based on the mouth bites, what's going on.
Like the shape of it, you can deduce what the animal was.
We had like ink.
Did you ever find like human teeth?
All the time.
Yeah. It's actually a real problem.
I think they're joking, folks, just in case you're wondering. It's not factual. Did it seem, like compared to the other classes, did it seem the fact that you're doing something a little bit more real, like what effect did that have for you guys?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it, eh? Like, you can only really review movies and write reports about them so much, like in an English class, or, you know, do trigonometry. It's so unapplied, and then suddenly you get to be outside, and there's so much value in being able to just be in touch with I don't know.
You had to do some like a proposal and like a budget, and like I think it was quite applied, wasn't it? Like in your year, I know different years, like I'm trying to remember which year you were in, but different years, like it was kind of set up like they had to develop the project, come up with the problem and the solution. And obviously we focused it around predator control, but I think different classes also explored other topics. But it's quite a, you know, it's quite an art even when you teach a class like that to get students even just out of that classroom thinking and thinking around a project and how do we work together and how do we do teamwork and how do we organize ourselves. And so there's so much like micromanaging in a way still to get students to think like that. But I think ultimately the experience at the end when they reflect back is like, oh, actually, I think we learned something, and they get all these kind of management type skills that, you know, is only just a little taster of what's to come in life. But I think in a sense what we were trying to explore is how do we do education differently? How do we do it outside the classroom? But unfortunately, because we're still stuck in the school system, but you know, like Ministry of Education still expects a paperwork. They still had to be pushed a report on it.
Yeah.
And that's not everyone's cup of tea. And I think what the nice thing was with this course, from our perspective, is that you get really academic students, but you also get really practical students, and they all get to thrive in their own way. And that kind of shows the students, actually, we're all part of a team that we all contribute in different ways to solving problems.
I imagine.
And that's what I loved about it personally, myself.
Yeah, I imagine it's a chance for the more practical oriented students to lead and for the academic students to follow, which is not.
In different ways,
Not what I remember school was like. There was always the academic ones, and they were always like, that was where everyone else was supposed to be. But academics is just one part of our life.
Yeah.
And when you're in a forest with trying to save birds and things, it's a very minor part.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger question was, how do we solve this problem or this challenge? I shouldn't even call it a problem. But, you know, we have challenges in our life, right, all the time. So really the best thing we can teach students is how to problem solve or come up with solutions or be creative around how they want to live life.
I actually think this is really important, because part of a school, it's a part of an established system, and it's producing people for the system. And our system is failing us now. We know that. We've got multiple crises all around us, and things with climate change, and they're talking about 7-year deadlines and things like that. And we don't need, we don't want to be producing kids who are gonna, who are designed to funnel into that established system. We want to produce kids who can think outside the box, which is a terrible cliche, but you know what I mean. Like people who are able to not only think outside of normal trains of thought, but actually go and act on it.
Yeah.
Because part of that learning to be a good kid at school is waiting to be told what to do. And you can think for yourself so long as your thoughts are the thoughts that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I'm a little bit cynical about it, but we are facing a big crisis, several crises, and we need to be producing young people who, well, not, in fact, we shouldn't be trying to produce them, because they are naturally like this anyway, naturally curious and doing things off their own bat, and we tend to rein them in. So how are you doing with that, Lenny?
Well, I think
do you feel reined in?
Really good point, hey. When I was teaching those like 5-year-olds of the day, they are so naturally, intrinsically fascinated. And then it's only around the time that you get to high school where you start getting funneled into this, these ideologies. And it is the time where we need to instill more of these programs, such as Monarchial, that do pull back the reins a little bit and show you that it isn't just this real, like, myopic way of doing things. There's more to the world, and therefore there's more ways in which we can help it. So, yeah, I fully agree with what you're saying there.
And the things that are changing the world are things like the Karioi Project, which was not instituted by the government or the council. They didn't say, oh, let's set up a project on this mountain to sort the problem with the birds out. It grew out of the community, and it... Like, it wasn't even... In fact, it was just completely informal to start with, wasn't it? Just random people going up trapping because they felt like it needed to happen.
Yeah, well, not quite random. I mean, I think it was mainly instigated by Malibu, who chased a few of us down and said we should do something.
Yeah, but that's how it started. Like,
but
it
was
start
random.
From a,
no, we didn't say let's start.
An authority figure telling us we should do it.
No, it was just the opposite, probably.
Yeah,
it was,
exactly.
It was having to convince Doc to even be allowed to start on Doc land. And writing a proposal to them, but also...
So the established authorities actually were more of a hindrance than a help.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not now that they've seen the success of the project.
Although, I mean, you know, like, we could have gone rogue, but we did it the official way, you know? But yeah, you never start these things going, oh, now I'm going to start a big project. It's more like, oh, heck, what have we just started? Like, you look back and you go, oops.
Yeah.
How do I get out of this now? But, you know, like, it's interesting because it's mostly because this community wants it, because volunteers keep stepping up, that we continue, not because it's our, you know, it's not like we're doing well out of it. Like, most of us that are working on the project have got other alternatives in terms of career and that, but we've chosen to do this, and it does come at a little bit of a personal sacrifice in some ways. But on the other hand, we get the beauty of living and working in this community and being able to contribute something that we feel is really important. And I think that's why people keep volunteering and we keep having amazing students step up and coming to work with us. And for us, it's like, you know, that now that I'm... You know, I'm a little bit older than Lenny now, and I mean, it's so awesome for me to see. It's like, well, these are the guys that are going to take over, and I can write my exit plan. So, you know, like, so it's awesome seeing young people step up and being passionate about this, and it gives you hope for that.
Is that what this
future.
Is, Crystal? Is this just an exit plan to you?
Yeah, that's right. You're my exit plan, Lenny.
You're trying to get out of this.
No, I'm just using fancy language. But, you know, you get to a point in life where you've done a lot of the things, and then you're like, actually, I don't want to keep doing these things and then not see them continue. You want to see them continue.
Yeah.
The future is having other, you know, people slightly younger than me that, you know, are inspired and have that same vision, but will make something else of it as well and build
Succession.
On it.
Someone was in my ear earlier in the week about succession for this organization.
Yeah.
Like, if I got hit by a bus today, it'd be hard work trying to pick up all the pieces.
Yeah.
The little strands of things that I only know about, so...
Yeah.
Admittedly, you're a different organisation. You've got more staff. You've got staff.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a 10-hour a week contractor. That's about it to help me out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is important to think about it. But it's like, I think I'm just lucky because I get excited about that kind of potential as well. It's what I thrive on, you know. And so it's awesome seeing these young people come through and also leave and come back. You know, like it can be a bit scary when you lose people. We've had quite a bit of turnover in our team post-COVID, which I think is happening everywhere. But it can be a bit scary. But the exciting thing is seeing really awesome people step up and fill those new spaces. And so that's been a big learning thing for me in the last 6 months or even last year or so. And then also like feeling really happy and excited about the new things that the people that leave do. Like Bexie left and that was really sad, but then she's gone on across the hill to do her Porongia Te Maungatauatahi Ecological Corridor project and leading that. And
that's huge.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That evolution.
Yeah.
Personal evolution for her, but also that's an outgrowth of this project as well. That the people who leave still bring, I guess, what they've learned and what they've taken on board, they bring that with them wherever they go.
For sure.
So are you looking for staff at the moment on that subject?
Well, not for a range of stuff as much, although we have put in for a big fund and we might look for more people if we get that fund from lotteries, but we don't know yet. We are still maybe needing to fill some space in our education team.
Yeah,
it'd be part-time though, so it is about finding the right fit for the kind of personality and time frames that we can provide jobs and employment for. But if people, if there's someone out there that's really excited about working with kids and maybe has some experience, we'd definitely love to chat to them.
Did you know, Lenny, that you'd like working with kids? Did you anticipate this happening?
I'm not a natural at all. Hey, I find it challenging. I find it like a real exercise to try and think about how to interact with young people, which is whack because it shouldn't be like that.
Because you're quite close to being a young person yourself.
Yeah, I think I've...
You must be, what are you, like 21, 22?
Yeah, 21. I think I've always been on the side of trying to interact with older people my whole life, so I've never really had that younger person that has been around. So it's been really interesting getting involved.
The kids all like you though, like the 5-year-olds. Like if they've got a middle-aged teacher and then you come into the room, I think they're just going to be excited to see you.
Yeah, I feel like that could be the case for sure. I mean, just you don't have to do much for them to throw off out. Like,
I was the same as Lenny. Actually, I'd never had younger siblings or like, you know, kids that I'd hung out with, and I probably didn't have much interest. But it's funny because I was just thinking we were talking about actually because 10 years ago we started Karioi Kids. 10 years ago at the end of this year, so we're going to have a bit of a celebration. And we started right next door here in the little courtyard here. That's where we'd meet.
Not even in a building.
No, it was just outside the Environment Centre.
Yeah.
But we had a bunch of kids and we advertised and there was like 18 kids turned up. And then we were like, holy cow, what are we going to do with these kids? And how are we going to manage them? And then it was just chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now I'm just like, how did parents even trust us?
maybe. Well, it's 10 years ago, so no one's going to worry about it.
Yeah, but we run a very well-oiled safety machine now. But but it's interesting looking back. But it was just that we wanted to inspire that next generation, but we had no clue in it. And then we realized we had to get systems in place and get a bit of order and, you know, control these kids.
Make sure you didn't lose
some. Didn't lose them along the way.
I coached soccer for years, and the first couple of years especially were really challenging.
Yeah.
Like every time the football organization asks, what do new coaches want to learn? Everyone says, child management. You've got 10 kids and it's such a novel experience actually having to look after that.
Yeah,
especially in the younger they are, they just disappear in different directions, they just run in different directions.
Yeah, we just got Annie Lorenzen. that was our solution.
That was all right.
Okay. It's like, we want to just play with these kids, so who can we get in to control these kids? So we're like, Annie had we called her the voice. The voice, because she had this big voice and this presence, and she'd tell the kids to sit down, and then we're like, sweet.
You do need that kind of Sergeant Major ability.
She was awesome. She was really fun as well, you know, so it was a good combination. Yeah. Now we have Amber.
Yeah, it's a real skill, eh?
Yeah.
There's a certain child geniuses out there, like Val, Amber, Annie. So I watch them and just go, whoa, how do you even captivate these people like that?
That's because you want to connect with them, but there's an element of having to control them, corral them as well at the same time, and that's actually balancing that out.
There's this funny balance because you have to be their best friend, but also tell them off, and it's like, how do I juggle this weird dynamic?
Yeah,
but you know, big respect to people that can do that. It's pretty unreal skill, I'd say.
My father was a school principal, so I could bring out his voice when I needed it.
Summon the principal voice.
Yeah. Do you have a taste of it? I try not to do it too often.
Does it freak people out?
It's not because I don't want to be my father, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but just every now and again, in desperate moments, it'll come out.
Yeah, might be a bit too intense for the radio too.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that on the radio.
Yeah,
people will be freaking out.
Yeah.
Especially
PTSD.
There's at least one person in this town for who he was their principal, so I really shouldn't do that.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Yeah, there's at least one person, so...
Big flashback.
Yeah, that's right, gives them flashback. So, hey, but, folks, we're talking to the Karaoke Project with Crystal and Lenny. Crystal, who's been with the project, since forever, and Lenny, who's the newest hire, probably. And we were checking about how the oi are doing. This is our indicator species here on the Maunga, the grey-faced petrel, for those who don't know the name. So where are they at in their life cycle at the moment?
So they've just come in for breeding season, so that's April, May. So, they've been flying in, emptying burrows, catching up with their mates and doing a bit of breeding activity.
Yes.
And so the way we know that is partly we do a bit of camera work, but also the burrows kind of get cleaned out, so that's housekeeping, so you can see it's been excavated.
Yeah.
The whole place comes alive where the burrows are. There's feathers and guano and all sorts of things. So they're kind of having a party.
They're vulnerable at that time?
Oh, yeah, because that's when predators can come in and get them.
Yeah.
But we don't see a lot of carnage because they kind of come in and then leave quite quickly again. So they've all kind of come in, lots of activity at the burrows, and we've been doing a bit of track cutting and clearing to make all that, you know, easy access and good for monitoring. And then they'll be off again now and back in July to lay their eggs.
July?
Yeah.
Laying of eggs. That's not far away.
No. So we actually just got a new seabird ranger on board as well. And then we've got Louis that's just started. So this week we've had two new people start.
Louis, another one who's come back who grew up here.
Yes.
Yeah. He used to be a DJ at the station. In fact, before he left school, I think. And his brother used to come in.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he's a Galloway. So that's really cool.
He was looking for somewhere to live, I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you help him out, Lenny?
Top and tail. My folks' place.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So he comes with a bit of experience working for DOC and various entities around the country. So really keen to see what, you know, he can do and add to the team. And, so it's exciting times. And then we've got Georgia as well, who's a qualified, experienced ecologist. So she's going to help with all our monitoring programs.
You get some highly qualified people in the house.
That's right, yeah. And these are all locals, so it's pretty cool.
Mm. And, Lena, you've already got a certificate from last year, haven't you? Is that how they do it?
Yeah.
It's one of those. I thought it was a great course because if you wanted to leave after 1 year, you're still left with a piece of paper.
Yeah, it does feel good.
Yeah.
I got my little piece of paper in the fridge, so show people when they come round. I'll show Louis when he moves in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll impress him.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. It is quite impressive. No, it is. It's a wicked course. It's a kind of an extension of Monarchia in that regard. It's super applied and.
Yeah.
Definitely gives me a little bit of skills to go out and into the real big world.
We actually had a bunch of those students come through this year. We've built a relationship with the course instructors.
Okay.
And they actually bring a team of students out. They came, I don't know, a few weeks back, and they helped us do a bunch of track clearing. And
this is from Hamilton, from Waikato University?
No, from Tauranga.
Oh, they came from Tauranga.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So they came for a couple of days and did a whole heap of work for us.
Good, it was
awesome.
Good score.
Yeah, it was really good. So they're going to come back once or twice a year with different students, and they came really well equipped, really, you know, well educated. They've already got all their first kind of tickets, you know, like around chainsaw and four-wheel drive and bits and pieces. Yeah, it's good practical. Yeah, it's really cool.
My daughter, Adie's doing the marine sort of version of this. Apparently there's a bit of rivalry between the marines and the terrestrials.
Yeah, they always is, Aaron.
But, yeah. But like Adie's done, she's like done like over 100 dives already. Wow. She started last year. So there's a huge diving component for them. And they go, and they're doing practical stuff. They're doing surveys, doing real science. You know, I think that's
a big deal.
As in, other people will use... Well, because so much stuff when you're a student is pretend.
Yeah.
You know, you would do a pretend thing, but their stuff, the data they get will be used.
Yeah. Well, that's the smart lecturers do that. They get a whole bunch of students and get them to do a whole big data set and collect it all for them.
Oh, for the lecturer to use for their research.
Yeah. I've had lecturers like that at Waikato, and they built this, 20... Well, the really cool thing was we were up north and did this cockle survey, and then did it for years and years, and then one year the cockles all disappeared.
Whoa.
And then he had this massive data set about, I can't remember the end of the story. It's a bit of a cliffhanger.
I'll ask him.
Come back tomorrow, folks. Tune in at 8.
Where did the cockles go?
I'm going to ask him. I'll email him today. But it was just so interesting because then he had this whole database like set and go, well, actually, we know what was there.
Is that Nick Lane?
No, this was Conrad.
Damn.
Conrad Pildich, yeah. Anyway.
Hey, folks, well, look, we've come to the end of the show. Really nice to talk to you guys, and Lenny, for you to come to the studio for the first time. Well, it's not the first time you've been in here, but the first time you've been officially in here for my show. No, I know, like, Dougal used to have that show he did, and I know there were lots of young people coming in.
That's good.
There were a few parents keeping
an eye on the DJing.
Yeah. All right, well, look, thanks for coming in, guys.